T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now, talking some Brewers baseball, good friend, it's good to hear the voice, Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you been?
Billy, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing wonderfully. I know that warmer weather is upon me. I'm going to be leaving here in a few weeks to head down to spring training, and I can't wait two things, to get a look at this team, and then secondly, to get a look at the new digs down in Arizona. But a lot of speculation as to whether or not this team's going to be able to repeat what they did last year. As a pitcher, you've got to be completely intrigued by all of this, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's exciting coming into the year knowing that the successes that you experienced in 2018, and you kind of roll with it. And though momentum doesn't win ball games, sometimes it really helps, and it gives you a little jump start because you'd much rather start the season 6-0 rather than 0-6.
So were you surprised the way things got done? I mean, actually, and I think you and I talked at the end of the season, but in essence, looking at the way pitchers were signed this year during the free agent period, it's like the Brewers changed the pay scale for everybody. You don't have to have the high-end starter making $200 million. You can find a bunch of guys making $5 million that have good arms, under control, and you can go out and get the same thing done. They actually changed, I think, a lot of things for a lot of teams and the way teams look at spending money on pitching now.
Well, I mean, yeah, we had that conversation towards the end of last year and the way Craig was handling it. But you make a good point. Yeah, it does. But the bottom line is, if you lose the World Series, you're just the second loser. You didn't win.
Right.
You don't win. And until this formula proves right, whether starting with an opener and then putting your starting pitcher in, or going with, you know, two or three solid pitchers and then doing the opener bit and bullpen by committee and stuff like that, until you see someone hoisting up that trophy, it's still hard for me to grasp as an old school guy. I mean, yes, the successes were there. We've seen guys move and teams move closer and closer to the pinnacle, but they weren't there. And it's something that it's going to take time for me. You know, I need to see the successes, and Craig manipulated it and played and moved his tokens and pieces very, very well last year and almost did it. Can it happen again? I don't know. So got my I got high hopes, but also I'm a little tentative on whether that route in that way can actually lead to success.
Do you like the Yasmani Grandal signing?
I do. What surprised me, though, with the one-year deal was that I thought possibly Stearns and the front office was going to make maybe some additional moves with the pitching and possibly in the rotation, with, per se, like the rumors about a Madison Bumgarner. 1 year at $12 million, free agent. Now we non-qualify him. We have him for 1 year at $12 million. I thought something like that with Grandal on a one-year deal, especially with a 2.25 buyout. I mean, that's a huge buyout, mm-hmm. An option that a player option can walk away. So we can play right here for 1 year, and if it doesn't work, he can walk and take his, you know, 2.25.
The addition, I think, offensively is very good for this ball club. I think the last image of Grandal was him basically chasing balls to the backstop and not really doing much in the postseason, where, if you want to say he choked. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, he just didn't look good. So when I heard that they signed him, I was glad because I know what his regular numbers are. But when it comes to the biggest and brightest of lights, he failed miserably. So I guess that's where I'm a little bit skeptical. Are you?
No, you got a very good point. I mean, people say that, you know, he was mainly known for his defensive, something that we had back in the old days when, remember, I think maybe me and you even talked about this with Jason Kendall with a catcher's ERA. You know, Grandal handled pitching staffs very well, and I know he hasn't performed like the level he did 3 years ago as far as the statistic gurus say, but now you add that. I'm going to say that last year in the postseason, his defensive lapses was just a bump in the road. His offensive prowess, though, I look forward to seeing him hitting balls into that right field short porch for us and driving runs. Like you said, this offensive lineup is phenomenal, or it could be phenomenal.
The platooning that went on last year, there's a lot of talk of whether or not they would bring Moustakas back, put Travis Shaw over at second base, and if they do that, that may eliminate a few guys, and whether or not Keston Hira, Mauricio Dubon, whether they're going to be ready to come up. It seems like it's a prove-it year to me for Travis Shaw. It's a prove-it year to me for Orlando Arcia. Because Arcia, I mean, as much as people just say, hey, he's tremendous at shortstop, and he had a terrific second half of the season. Defensively, he's awesome. But if you got Dubon and those guys ready to come up, and they're going to give you consistency, that changes things for Arcia, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. And unfortunately, in this game about winning, every year is you have to put up. Until you get that, you know, that 10-year or that 4-year, that comfort level, you feel like you've got to prove yourself every year. There's advanced scouting. There's video. There's everything. People are making adjustments on our side, and we look for the improvements that our hitters can do offensively. But we also have to remember that every single pitching staff in the league is also looking at video, and they're making improvements on their last year too as well. So the one thing that you bring up is big, this Keston Hira thing. I think if Keston is being held back for the reasons of controlling his contract, you know, bringing him up in a May 1st situation or even a May 15th, however that breaks down, a la Chris Bryant with the Cubs, then that's one thing. But you know what? With this offensive lineup, the where it is, we know that Keston can hit. You know, if he's not going to have the surgery on his UCL or his ACL, whatever that ligament is in his elbow that, you know, they're saying that if he has the surgery, there's no guarantee it can come back better. Heck, he's got to find a position. We've got to see if he can play second base at the big league level. If we're moving Travis Shaw from third to second, I got to believe Keston, who's played there 3 years at Cal State, 2 years in the Arizona Fall League, I got to believe he can make that second base throw. And I hope we're not holding out for that CBA where we're trying to move the DH to the National League, because Keston Hira's offensive bat can even make this Brewer lineup even better.
Do you want to see the move? Do you want to see the DH come to the National League?
No. As a pitcher, I don't. I see that taking jobs away from pitchers, and you know, you can say whatever you want. You know, guys get paid this or guys get paid that. But you know, when you remove and when you put that DH into play, yes, it does prolong the careers of an Albert Pujols or guys in my area. You know, Barry Bonds's and Jim Thome's and Mark McGuire's could maybe have played another year at the DH level, but now all of a sudden pitching staffs are going to go down to 11 man. You're going to lose pitchers because it's becoming an offensive game. And especially if they're talking about having a three batter minimum for pitching. Now all of a sudden you're losing the left-handed specialist. You can't come in and face the left-handed batter and then get taken out. So I think, unfortunately, all these rules and all these ideas are coming about to increase offensive excitement for the fan. But as a pitcher, I like to see jobs for my pitchers, and I think this detracts from it and takes away from them.
Talking with Paul Wagner, former Brewers pitcher, and going back to what we saw last year, I mean, a lot of people say Corbin Burns has the best stuff on the staff. He wants to become a starter. Are you concerned at all about the starting rotation of this team, not having that true ace? Or I know people want to say it's Chacin, but he pitched well last year after he got through the first couple of weeks of the season. But is he your true ace, or is this, doesn't it matter to have a true ace anymore?
First off, Burns, yeah. Well, second off, Chacin, in my opinion, is not an ace. No, he's a great pitcher. He surprised everybody last year. He's got a steal of a deal. I mean, outstanding, phenomenal. Pitched lights out. I mean, he pitched and pitched. Is he an ace? No. The one thing that scares me most, I believe Woodruff has great stuff. Burns, he's got great stuff. I think we have a lot of pitchers with great stuff. And whether they can jump to that number one slot, you know, per se, is another thing coming. But Jimmy Nelson. You know, Jimmy Nelson had a lot of tinkering done in that shoulder, a lot of things that hadn't been done before. When you're talking, you know, labrums and rotators and avulsions and bone separation, you know, that's scary stuff in a shoulder, especially for a pitcher. I think hard to put, you know, the point of finger and base the whole season on one player, which is unfair, especially when he didn't pitch last year at all. I think the Jimmy Nelson scenario is one that needs to be monitored. If Jimmy Nelson is healthy and can give us $1.60 or $1.65 and he can pitch and be effective, again, look out.
Yeah, I'm if he can give you anything, it's like icing on the cake, man. I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, if he comes back and pitches the way he pitched before he went down, I mean, it's that's it. But if he can give you anything, I agree with you. I mean, I remember having a talk with Craig Counsell when Jimmy went down, and you could. It's not so much what he said, but you could see it in his face that where he tore, even though it's in the front rather than the back, because if you tear it in the back, it's usually pretty much career ending. You tear it in the front. Okay, you know, you got a chance of coming back. There's some players that have done that, but that's one of those things where you raise an eyebrow and go, man, I don't know if he's ever going to pitch again.
Yeah, and then the back, you mentioned the back. So mine, when I tore mine 180, that labral tear was in the back. And what it does is, it's funny, the back side of your shoulder, when you tear that and they repair that, you lose velocity. And me being as mainly a power thrower, not a pitcher in my career, I never considered myself a pitcher. I was a thrower. But when you take 95, you know, 94 to 95, and you drop that down to 88 to 89, and now you got to try to pitch. And if you don't, you know, you got to learn damn quick. And if you can't make that adjustment, it's hard. Jimmy, on the other hand, with the front, still with good velocity, I think he should do it. I just, I hope it comes back. You know, fingers crossed on something. You can never know what that shoulder is going to do. Elbows are pretty predictable. Tommy John's coming back, UCLs. The figure eights, you know, the ligament transfer, that's all good. But the shoulder's scary, so get my fingers crossed for Jimmy. Good man.
Paul, always a pleasure. How's the Styx Academy doing?
Styx Academy's doing phenomenal. We are everybody's getting excited. Remember, baseball season in Wisconsin now is all consolidated to spring baseball. There's no more summer leagues. So we've got kids coming for everything, whether it be hitting, pitching, fielding. Styx is an absolute phenomenal facility, and if you haven't been out there and you haven't had a chance to see it, go to styxacademy.com, check it out on the website, then come on, go for a walk. Sean Smith and the staff there with Bart, they're great people, and they'll help you out to the fullest.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Sounds great, Bill. Have safe travels down to Arizona.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Wagner, former Milwaukee Brewers pitcher. He's also with the Styx Academy. You can find him at styxacademy.com. You can check out everything there. If your kid plays baseball or you're listening and you want to play baseball, they got a terrific, terrific academy that you can send your kids to, and always run by top quality people as well. And that's one of the biggest catches for that, is that they've always got good people around them. Go to styxacademy.com. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80 plus years, they're beginning to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.